Who drinks a lot. Yeah. I know.
She was at three.
She used to go with a woman whose name was also Ginny.
Yeah, this is before there. I can remember her coming into a bar in Bingles. It was in the summertime. It was a Sunday afternoon, and it was about, four or five of us standing down by the window, because the window had like a little ledge there, and we were all standing there with our beer. And Ginny come in. She walked over and sat in the middle of the bar, and there's nobody, absolutely nobody near her. She ordered a beer, and she picked up her glass, and over her and the chair went. Her and the bar stool went over backwards. She got up off the floor, and she says, "All right, who pushed me?" And there wasn't a soul near her. We all just roared. Just really roared.
She's still doing it.
Yeah, she hasn't changed in all the years I've known her.
That's great. One thing I especially wanted to ask you is we've had very few women to be able to interview who are Native American. And can you talk about that, being a Native American woman, were you ever particularly made aware of that when you went into the bars?
Oh, that I was Indian?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know. I don't mean they did it sarcastically, you know, or prejudice, you know. There didn't seem to be any prejudice. They just knew I was Indian. You know? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of them, you know, a lot of them would refer to me as Indian Elaine.
Right, I've heard that for years.
You know,
but it was just a title, like Black Jan.
Right,
know.
It was just a title. Right. Because like there was a couple other girls named Elaine around. And so if they wanted to say who they were talking about, they'd say, "Oh, well, you know Indian Elaine."
Right.
Then everybody knew who they were talking about. Yeah. You know, but no, there was no prejudice, you know, because there was a lot of black girls around, and we all, you know, nobody thought nothing of it.
Uh-huh. Did black girls come into the bars?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them I can't even remember their names now. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen them, but a lot of them moved, you know, away, like to Cleveland and New York and different places. But there was a lot of girls. Could have a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
We used to go to speakeasies after the bars.
What were they like?
Well, they were mostly the speakeasies. There was quite a few of them. It was straight, it was gay, it would be blacks, you know, whatever.
Who would run the speakeasies?
Oh, people, you know, like maybe they'd have a bar and be opening after hours in the back room.
Uh-huh.
A lot of places would be, you would never dream there would be anything there. There'd be an old abandoned building, and they'd be upstairs over to the old abandoned building, and they'd have gambling.
Oh.
And you could drink, you know.
And this is late 50s?
Yeah, late 50s.
How come I never...
There was a lot of them around. Yeah. But most of the time, they had to know you to let you in. You know.
Do you remember the Coral Club?
Yeah, I remember the Coral Club.
Do you remember about when that was going?
The Coral Club was going in about 60s.
Early 60s?
Early 60s. Yeah, the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
The 60s.
Okay. What were the next bars that you remember, like, after Bingo's closed in the Chesterfield?
Oh, there was the 132.
Oh, yeah. It's on...
Jenna, who's on Geneseen Oak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Carousel was still going, so was Johnny 68 in the Oasis.
Right.
And let's see, up the street a little bit was a bar called Leonard's, and he got some of the...
Right, there's a little bar.
Yeah, Leonard's. And let's see, across from 132, there was called a place that was the Pink Pony. It wasn't really gay, but some of the gay kids used to go in there. And then there was another one on Genesee called Kitty Cat. But there was mostly, that was black, but it was predominantly straight. But some of the kids used to go in there.
Were the bars changing at all? Was there any kind of difference that you noticed between the bars, like Bingo's, the Chesterfield, the early Carousel, and then when it changed to 132?
132 was a different, you know, started changing. The kids, the people started changing, you know, their appearance. You know, they weren't quite so butchy anymore. And then, after the 132, there was the 240 down behind City Hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the kids, that was a mixed bar. It was boys and girls. It was a big, huge place.
Right, it had a big back room.
Yeah.
A real long
bar. Yeah, real, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the girls started changing. You know, they weren't quite so butchy anymore. And I think from there I went to the the other place. It was on Delaware, right across from the Buffalo Athletic Club.
The Avenue.
The Avenue. Yeah.
And then the one on the west side, the Senate.
The Senate, yeah.
The Senate was where the big fight was.
Yeah.
When Maggie lost her eye.
Yeah.
That's 1962-63.
Yeah.
Right around
that. Yeah. That was a rough bar. I never really liked to go to that bar. I used to go more to Tom and Len's than to
God, you know, these names are coming back. Nobody's mentioned Tom and Len's
yet. Yeah, I used to go to Tom and Len's. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of the girls used to go in there. It was mostly boys, but the girls used to go in there. And,
Goodall?
Yeah.
Goodall?
Yeah.
It was on one of those cross streets,
Goodall,
across
yeah.
Main Street. Yeah.
It was across...
It wasn't a very big bar.
No, it was a tiny little bar, and Hallie used to play the piano.
Hallie?
Yeah.
Black woman.
Black lady, yeah.
Yeah.
Played the piano in all the bars for years.
Right. And it was mostly guys.
Yeah.
That is stretching up a lot of memories
yeah.
for me, too. Oh.
Then there was the Hi-Fi.
Oh, God. Where was that?
That was on Tucker, behind the block down from the firehouse there. And then later on it was called the Lion's Den.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And is it now the Nimrod?
No, it's torn down now.
But the Nimrod is the same block.
No, block before it.
More toward Main Street?
Yeah.
Oh,
the Lion's Den was down farther. Yeah. Then there was a Havana Casino.
Right, I think I was out of town for the Havana Casino. Right, that was very big.
Yeah, that was a pretty night. That was nice. That was really nice.
And about that time, wasn't the Signet going? The Signet is where Betsy is now.
Yeah, no, I think that was before the Havana. It was the Signet, yeah. That was before the Havana Casino. And then there was, the Signet was going. And I think at the same time, or close after, was the old Jazz Center.
Yeah, upstairs
that,
on
yeah,
Washington.
Yeah, that was going.
Right. It was a huge place.
Yeah, that was huge. Yeah. I had only been there once or twice.
Yeah, I was only there a couple times, too.
Yeah.
Right, and every once in a while, people would drift back and forth to little places like the Four Roses.
Yeah, yeah, down the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Was social life different in those bars in the early 60s from the way it was in the 50s? Did there seem to be, well, I don't know, maybe more people going out?
No, because you would see most of the same crowd, you know, from Mingles and the Carousel and 240, 132.
Yeah.
Seeing all the same people.
If you walked into one of those bars and you didn't know anybody, how would you get to know people? I mean, were people friendly?
I think the kids were friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were friendly, you know.
Do you ever remember anybody talking about the bars being owned by the mafia at all?
No, I never heard that. I don't think they ever were.
The myth is, of course, that the New York bars, a lot of the New York bars were mafia owned. And one of the questions that we had was, in Buffalo, did any of that same thing go on, or was it just sort of understood that people paid off?
Well, everybody knew they paid the police off to leave them alone.
Yeah.
But that's about all. But I never, in all the bars I was there, I never heard that they were mafia-owned. Because I think if they would have been mafia-owned, they would have had a little, they would have lasted longer.
That seems logical.
You know,
right.
They would have been, so many of them closed down after a year or two.
Yeah, they protect their interests.
Right.
Sure.
So I doubt very much if any of them were ever mafia-owned.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them would get closed just because they wouldn't play off the police. Of course, today, they don't bother.
Yeah, I guess.
I never hear of them paying them off anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the people that worked in the bars? Were the bartenders and barmaids always gay?
Majority of the time, yeah. Like in the Oasis, I can remember there a one fella, his name was Gino. He wasn't gay, but everybody liked him. And he got along fine. He never, you know, he was never nasty or sarcastic or anything like that. But he wasn't gay. He was married and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Never went out with any of the boys.
Yeah.
But he worked there. He had worked there for years.
Yeah.
And everybody just accepted him. No problem.
One of the things that we found from a couple of people was people had stories of how a bar became a gay bar. Do you recall ever, you know, watching that kind of turnover from a straight to a gay bar and how it was done?
Well, for a while there, let's see, there was really no place to go. I think there was a period about 2 years where there was really no bars to go to.
About what year?
Oh, it was in the 60s, but I can't remember offhand what year.
It seems to me sometime after the Eagle Inn closed.
Yeah,
that there was a real dry run.
Yeah, after the Eagle closed.
Yeah.
There was about maybe a year, 2 years, really no place to go. Let's see. Then came the case of, like, because Johnny Otto, that had owned the 240, his brother owned the Casablanca, and he was dying because he didn't have no business. So his brother wanted to say, well, gee, let the kids come in, you know, they'll support you. So that was about the only bar going for a long time.
Yeah.
But it was boys and girls, but, you know, it was some place to go.
Right. That wasn't too big a bar, but it had a back room.
Yeah.
And you could dance.
Yeah, you could play pool.
Right.
Yeah. And finally, you get, you know, Art tended bar there. Andy tended bar there.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I can't remember who else. And then, of course, Irene used to go around and get these bars, and she liked the gay kids, and she'd go around and get a bar, talk the owners into letting her run the bar in her way, and that's how she ran Havana Casino, the Signet. And more or less, she got the Eagle going.
Uh-huh. So she was like a manager?
Yeah, like a manager.
Uh-huh. And she was the person who made the connection?
Yeah.
I would call up somebody and say,
yeah,
we have a new bar for you, come on down and take a look.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So then all the kids, you know, hey, would support her because,
yeah,
go there because, you know, they didn't have anything.
Yeah.
I think about the dumpiest place I ever was in was, for a while there was really no place to go, and somebody had talked the guy that owned the Elm Hotel into letting the kids come in there. Oh, and that was a real dive of dives.
Yeah, I don't remember that. All I remember is a place on the corner of Genesee and maybe, was it Pearl or Franklin, that was a hotel. Was that it?
No, this was, it was right on the corner of Elm and Tupper? Somewhere in there.
Way below downtown.
Yeah.
The bars that we're talking about from the late 50s right through the early 60s were all located downtown. You know, on side streets off Main Street and all. Do you have any ideas of why that area worked for gay bars?
Well, I guess because they were out of the way. You didn't get, if they were out of the way, you didn't get so much straight people coming, you know, as they would say, sightseeing.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the farther off the main street or wherever, you didn't get.
But
there.
They never opened a gay bar in Kenmore, I mean,
no,
you know.
No.
Or even out on Hurdle at that time.
No.
It wasn't until many years later.
No, they were always downtown.
Uh-huh.
In the downtown area.
Huh, I wonder why. Other than, I mean, side streets would be out of the way, but I wonder why downtown.
I don't know, really. They would just always seem to be downtown somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You know. Except, like, the only one, like I said, was on Delaware Avenue at that time was the 5 o'clock club.
Was the 5 o'clock club an upstairs place?
No, it was a downstairs.
Was
it? Yeah.
I don't remember it. I mean, I remember stories about it, but I don't think I was ever in it.
No, that was back in the late 50s.
That lasted a long time, though, didn't
it?
Yeah,
that had been going for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
I don't know why it really closed. I think it was that 1 year that all the bars closed. Everything closed down. I think they closed too.
Mm-hmm. When you started going to the bars in the late 50s, like now we're the older people in the bars.
Yeah.
Feels a little weird.
Right.
When you started going to the bars in the 50s, there had to be a group of women who were the older people in the bar. Weren't
there? Yeah, there was some, yeah.
What kind of relationships did you ever have with them? What were they like? How did they accept these new kids?
Well, I don't know, just the ones I have met, the older women that I've met, I always got along with. I never had any trouble with them. They just seemed to accept it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Say, oh, you're just coming out, and, you know, they talk to you, and, you know, but,
Did anybody ever, like, talk to you about how you're supposed to act in the bar, or you know, if you want to get along, this is how to do it? Or?
No, not that I can remember. But, like, today, the kids, I don't know. They're so different. They really are. It seems like it's just a whole new breed. You know, they don't seem friendly. Not even amongst their own groups, you know.
Yeah.
They just they're just for themselves. Okay. And of course today so many of them smoke pot and all that. And they're on acid. We never did. We really never smoked pot or anything. I can never remember.
There was no, like, drug culture in the bars then?
No, there wasn't. Mm-hmm. There really wasn't. But today, gee, you walk in the bathrooms and that's all you can smell.
I haven't been to the bathrooms and the bars for a while, but I'll check it out next time.
Or they're all running out back and forth in and out to their cars and they're coming back. Yeah, well, you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But we never were into that.
Why do you think people were closer then?
Well, the society wasn't as open about the gay life as it is now.
Yeah.
And you know, society didn't accept you, so you more or less just all stuck together, you know.
Protection.
You were in a bar where you were all together and you all stuck together.
Uh-huh.
Today I don't think these kids stick together. Really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, half of them I don't even think know what life's all about or what they're looking for or where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I was young once, but I don't think I was ever.
Do you think
as
that
obnoxious as they are?
Do you think that the older women in the bars when you first came out ever sat together and said, "Boy, I was never as obnoxious as
they"? Probably did. You know, it's probably just everybody's opinion, you know.
A new generation.
Uh-huh.
Were the older women that you knew there real heavy into roles?
Some of them, not all of them. Uh-huh. You know, like I said, you know, I just kind of, I guess it depends on the person, the clique that they belong to.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were, and some of them weren't.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that where you met most of the girls that you went with at the bar?
Most of them, yeah. Mm-hmm. I met them at the bar.
If you were like in one clique at a bar and you were suddenly found yourself single, how would you go about looking for a new lover?
Go to the bar. There would always be. You'd always see. There was always somebody coming in, you know, strange people. Strange faces, or somebody that wasn't with somebody, you know, they had
uh-huh.
broken up, and you know, if you've been interested in the person, you know.
Yeah. What about your own tight circle of friends? Did you bring your new girlfriend into your group, or did you go into her group, or how did that work?
Well, like I say, most of the girls that I have gone with, were basically straight. You know,
mm-hmm.
They just came into the bars. I met them and stuff, mm. So I would bring them in, you know, hang around with the people that I'd always hung around with.
They didn't have a group of their own then?
No.
Oh, I see. What about other people that maybe went with girls that they didn't think were basically straight? Was there ever a problem about whose group you went with or
no,
whose friends?
I don't think so. Like I say, before I think the kids, you know, got along, they were closer. Like, geez, after the bars closed, sometimes there'd be about five, six maybe 10 of us. And it used to be an all-night bowling alley. No, we used to go bowling after the bar closed.
Where was that?
It was that main, right near the Shades of Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a bowling alley. It was open all night long. And maybe about 10 of us would go bowling after the bars closed.
That was an upstairs alley, wasn't it?
No, it was right on Main Street.
Oh. I remember an upstairs place there. I never went bowling.
We used to go bowling and then sometimes on Sunday afternoons at the 132. We'd all meet at a certain time. It'd be about 8 couples. And we'd sit there at this table and just tell jokes all afternoon. And laugh and really just have a good time. You know, nobody, no fights, no arguments.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd laugh so hard that tears
would
be rolling down your face, your stomach would be hurting from laughing so hard.
Yeah.
But those are the things we used to do. We had good times doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like I said, never no dope. We had good times.
Some of the people we've interviewed have talked about Butch's Night Out or Guy's Night Out or something like that, and what they said was that there was usually one night during the week when sometimes you didn't go out in a couple, you went out with just your Butch friends or something. Was that true in your group?
I guess some of them did, but see, like, I always worked and I always had to get up so early in the morning. I didn't go out too much during the week. It was too hard for me to get up and go to work, you know, go out drinking and try to get them to go to work.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it was, you know, you'd meet, have a couple drinks, you know, just 4 or 5 of the Butches that went with somebody, you know, but they'd all meet and have a couple drinks together.
Yeah, I guess one person said that in their group, Friday night was Butch's night out. Saturday you went out with your girlfriend, Friday night the Butches went out, the femmes stayed home and they didn't know what they did.
Oh, gee, I don't know about that.
But that wasn't true with the group that you hung out with particularly?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of times some of them go up to Toronto for a weekend, you know. Or during the summertime they used to go to Sherkston Quarry for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Pitch tents and everybody bring their own food and be there for the whole weekend and just, you know, no fights, just have a good old time, you know.
What were the bars like in Toronto then, in the 50s?
Oh, jeez. You know, I don't really remember. I remember being to one bar called the Continental.
Through the bus station.
Yeah, right.
Right.
That's the only one I can ever remember.
Uh-huh. What was it like?
The only time I was there was during the week and it was on in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
I had never been there on the weekends. Of course, it was, you know, a dead.
Right, sure.
So I never really knew what the bars were like. Mm-hmm. I never went up to Toronto that much.
Yeah.
You know, like we maybe knew somebody and we'd all go to their house. You know, when everybody bring a bottle or something.
Yeah,
right. We never went out to the bars. But that's the only one in that time, you know, that I can remember. It was the Continental. And we were there like Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, you know, and there was just nobody around.
I went on weekends occasionally there. It was in the 60s. It was rough. Mm-hmm. It was a tough one.
I don't know, like a couple of us used to go to Rochester. Weekends.
Uh-huh.
And we used to go to